you never know how talented the people that are walking up and down the sidewalk are. This is the moment I look forward to probably most in doing this radio station and the show I do, is actual true talent musically. Jolene Dixon, originally from Nashville, is opening for Pam Tillis tomorrow night at the Coach House. Coach House, of course, partners of the radio station. We are delighted to welcome into the house Jolene Dixon.
Hey, how are you? Good, how are you?
Doing
great. I'm so
great.
Thrilled to be here.
It is an honor to have you here, first of all.
Thank you
for making the trip here. And I said, originally from Nashville, you live out in Southern California now.
That is true. That is true. My logo is you can see on my CD is the shape of California and Tennessee. And I was born in Topanga Canyon, and then we left the Laurel Canyon music scene to go to Nashville with I was 9 months old, and then I've been back and forth and back and forth, right. So I just feel like my heart's in both of the places.
It is. You have one foot on each populace, as we say. And growing up in Nashville, or spending a good portion of your youth in Nashville, does that lend itself to wanting to be part of the music scene?
That is what I was there for. Both of my parents are musicians. My dad's a sound engineer and worked with Dolly, which is how I got the name.
I was going to ask you that. How did the name Jolene come about?
Yeah.
So your dad is a sound engineer, worked with Dolly Parton.
That's right. He worked on the original Trio project that was like Emmylou and Linda Ronstadt and Dolly in the Enactron truck, which is now in the Musicians Hall of Fame in Nashville, which is really cool.
That's very cool.
And it's that was such a big part of my life that I kind of didn't realize how cool it was until I got out to California. And people were like, wait, what do you mean your dad worked on The Last Waltz? And I'm like, I didn't know. Like, you know, just a lot of things that you take for granted.
You'd call him and go, Dad, you're much cooler than I ever thought you were.
Yeah, I know. Right. Why didn't you tell me that you worked on all this cool stuff?
And I'll get this question out of the way here first.
Yeah.
How often do people ask you to play or sing Jolene?
So often, in fact, that I wrote like my own version of that song.
Oh, I love that.
Where, you know, I'm saying, like, look, I won't take him if you don't want me to, but, like, I can if you want me to, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. So tomorrow night's show.
Tomorrow night.
Obviously, the Coach House is in San Juan Capistrano.
Right.
You're opening for Pam Tillis.
I'm opening for Pam Tillis.
And you told me the most heartwarming story about growing up and listening to Pam Tillis. Please.
I mean, she was one of the ones that I would wait for by the radio, to hit the record and the play button at the exact same time.
On the cassette,
during the country radio countdown in Nashville. Right. Like, I mean, Let That Pony Run is just like one of those. I mean, there were just like, you know, Gretchen Peterson is writing just these incredible songs.
Right.
It was incredible.
So and all the love in the world to Pam Tillis, and all the love and all the love for the admiration that you hold for her.
Yeah.
But you are no stick in the mud. Your latest single, Dirty Window, is what attracted me to the rest of your music,
including
Bloom and all. You've got an amazing catalog of music.
Thank you, man.
And the writing of these songs, is it you?
Mostly, all you? Dirty Window is all me.
Okay.
Bloom I actually wrote with Melody Walker, who co-wrote Sierra Farrell's American Dreamin'.
Okay.
I've been American dreamin'.
All right.
Which was just like, you know, again, one of those things when you live in Nashville that you get to write with such like incredible artists are just right around the corner. And then most of my music, though, I do end up writing myself.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff you'll hear tomorrow night is brand new stuff that I've been writing recently.
I want to talk about the writing process for you and on the other side. What are you going to grace us with first?
I figured I'd just come out the gate with Dirty Window.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
The track, when you go listen to it, is so cool. It was produced by Dan Nobler, who also did Lake Street Dive records. It's got this Lake Street Dive groove that I can't pull off by myself, but I'll try to do it some justice.
All right. She is sitting over on the Billie Holiday stage across the country, across the globe. Please welcome Jolene Dixon.
All right. Y'all know those people that are just angry no matter what.
Yeah.
It's usually because they have depression, you know, so you usually have a little bit of empathy for them. But, like, go to therapy, am I right?
Buy a dog.
You think you're so cool because you're a dick. And every conversation starts with, I'm so sick of
And then insert today's disruption. Then there's always good old trusty government corruption. We can always bitch about that, can't we? But when there's always something wrong, then there is always something wrong. There will always be something wrong. Trust me, I know it's hard to see clearly at a dirty window. It's so easy to say, hey, you could wash all that away, little dirty window. What if I told y'all don't think about a pink elephant?
All right, what'd y'all do?
Well, now look, I had you all for a second, conjuring an image in shades of rosé to the best of your knowledge. But when there's no two views the same, then there are no two hues the same, in that we're all the same. Trust me, I know it's hard to see clearly at a dirty window. It's so easy to say, hey, you could wash all that away, that old dirty window. Well, hey, look, I ain't one for casting stones. I ain't asking you to get up off of that throne. Hey, but what if that high horse you're on only looks tall? 'Cause you're so small. Trust me, I know it's hard to see clearly at a dirty window. It's so easy to say you could wash all that away, that old dirty window.
Woo! Woo!
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. That high horse seems so tall because you're so small. That's a beautiful line. I love that. I love the song.
Somebody that's in charge that I think about a lot when I sing this song.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah. Likewise. That's who came to mind immediately. Yep. Yeah. So the audiences, and this was a lot like, the doors are wide open. Yeah. It's a lot like busking.
Yes.
Right? And you get
absolutely.
The sirens were rolling
that's
by
right.
and stuff like that. That toughens you up.
It does. It cuts your teeth.
Yeah.
It makes you really realize that if you're doing art for other people's approval or right. for other people's eyes,
right.
then you're never going to be happy and you're right. never going to be satisfied.
Right.
And to really like be singing songs on the side of the road because you love to sing and that's not, you can't do anything else. That's when you find out if you really love music or not, I think.
Yeah. And how old were you when you first started singing?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when I was talking about my dad being a sound engineer, this studio that is in the Musicians Hall of Fame because such iconic records were recorded in there. I recorded in when I was 3 years old after my baby sister was born and my dad put it to tape, like, old tape. And I still have a cassette of that recording. So it started really early for me. But to be honest, I kind of make the joke that the nepotism part of having a daddy in the entertainment industry right. doesn't make it all the way down the liner notes
right.
as sound engineer.
Right.
The trauma does, though, you know.
Like the trauma's there. The
daddy right. issues and right. having absentee parents. It was in my blood, but I saw what a struggle it was for my parents, and right. I saw how hard our lives were as kids,
right.
having a dad on the road all the time and having maybe food on, we were struggling. Were systems, you know, we had free lunches at school, you
right,
know,
right.
And I saw what a struggle that was. And I like swore that I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to get like, so I went to school for music education. I was going to be a teacher, and then life happened. And, you know, I ended up going into like the corporate world. I was in sales for a while. I tried to be normal, man. I tried so hard and I just couldn't do it anymore. Right. So
a, you know what? That's a, if you're an artist,
that's right.
That's a completely different turn on the road. It's
that's
like,
right.
You know what? I just can't do it.
That's right.
Right. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on failing in the corporate world.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to say
know.
You failed, but you know.
No, it was happening. It was going to happen.
Right. And another thing, just like busking puts a callus on you.
Yeah.
Growing up poor.
Yeah.
I grew up poor.
Yeah.
It gives you an appreciation for the audience.
It
gives you an appreciation
does.
For them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not only that, not only like, you know, having fewer resources growing up, but also even performing in Nashville, the people that are there now, I have such utter respect for. I couldn't take it anymore, so I had to leave. But the people that are still there that are showing up to these writers rounds where there are
right.
nobody, there are the other people that are playing this show,
right.
that stuff toughens you up too.
Yeah.
And just, you know, right. yeah, it's a tough world over there in Nashville.
And do you find yourself now going back and performing? Or?
I do some, but honestly, it is so strange to say this, and it's going to sound so counterintuitive, but it's really tough to do shows in Nashville. Like even
okay.
really big artists have a hard time playing
right.
In Nashville. Jason Isbell, I think I might be making this up.
Oh, please,
fact
make it
check
up.
It. I don't know. Fact check it. But I'm pretty sure Jason Isbell, he played at the Ryman, but he had like a little residency there. But he has a tough time. I might be making that up.
All right.
Anyway, it is a tough.
Sounded great.
Yeah, and then the siren was like, woo, woo, lies. No. But it is true that a lot of artists have a hard time selling tickets there because there's just so much music everywhere
right.
all of the time.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just before we jump into the next song,
yeah.
which I'd be delighted if you played us another
yeah.
song or two.
I'd love to.
The teen years
mm-hmm.
that are tough years
mm-hmm.
for everybody.
Yeah.
The writing of your music during those years, what was that like? The songs
gosh.
Themselves, what were they about?
Oh my gosh. You know, teenage love. I wrote so much. I had a high school band. Called Hearsay. And man, we cut a record in that Enactron truck.
Okay.
You know,
wow.
With Brian Ahern, you
right.
know, it's with his truck there in studio. And all of those songs were so angsty. But the funny thing was that I wanted so badly to be anti what my dad worked on.
Right.
You know, like
right.
my dad was working on like not cool stuff. You
right.
know, like Emmylou Harris was like my aunt, you know.
Right.
And so like I was listening to No Doubt. I was like, you
right.
know, listening to punk. I was listening to a lot of Sheryl Crow, Fiona Apple. Like
right.
those were the records that, you know, the albums that I was collecting.
We just played Crash Test Dummies. You knew every word.
Listen,
you sang. Yeah, you were right
come
on.
Come on, 90s. Yeah. Test me on any 90s music and I'm right there. So.
What are you going to grace us with next?
Well, let's see. I figured I'll just play you that song that I actually wrote with my friend from Nashville.
All right. What's it called?
With this friend named Melody Walker.
Okay.
And she's written some incredible music with, like I said, with Sierra Farrell, American Dreamin'. But this song is really just about how it's never too late to keep blooming. But, you know, at...
Right.
44. I'll be 44 this year.
Wow.
And I'm just
happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right.
And I'll be, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to be in my 40s. I think I used to feel like I'd lost time, you know, but I feel like that was just earning those calluses, like you
right,
said.
Right
so,
right.
so this is called Bloom.
I'm going to ask you, yeah. I'm going to follow
no,
up
on
that after the song.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right.
This is also out now. You can listen to it anywhere you like. Well, I knew heaven when I was five, in this pleasure so free and so alive. Well, I was living when the hammer fell. This new feeling, I should be ashamed to be myself. Was that the day that I became so uncomfortable in my skin?
They told me that my soul was untouchable without him. But is it a sin to get to heaven too soon? Does a flower need permission just to bloom? Well, I took a lover, let 25, well, he couldn't please me, but at least he could have tried. Then at 37, I forgave my past. Well, I lost religion, but I found God at last. 'Cause they plucked all my petals, then sold them right back to me. Always edging toward heaven, kept somewhere just out of reach. Oh, is it a sin to get to heaven too soon? Does a flower out of the garden where all the shit started, I'm digging, making some room to bloom.
I lost my aunt recently, and it was in the middle of us writing this song.
Oh.
And Melody texted me, and she goes, I really think we need a third verse.
Okay.
And it was right after I had lost my aunt. I pray when the day comes for my final breath, well, I'll fly away free of any fear of death. Well, I don't know where we go or what any of all this means. Dust to dust, womb to tomb, someday soon maybe I'll be a maple tree. Right back to the garden where all this shit started. I'm digging, still finding room to bloom. Room to bloom.
Jolene Dixon. That horn honking was for you, by the way.
That was perfect.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thanks for letting me share that.
Well, do me a favor. Tell us about your aunt.
Oh, gosh. I mean, she's the reason I'm here. She's the reason I'm in California. She was a lot like a mom to me. And she was a soap opera actress. She was on Young and the Restless, okay, and lots of other soaps. And she wrote for General Hospital. She was in the original Broadway cast of Grease.
Wow.
I mean, she was just, she was awesome. And we lost her to stomach cancer a couple years ago.
I'm so sorry.
And it was while I was living in Tennessee, and now to be living back here again without her is just, and it's been interesting, and you know.
Thank you for sharing about it.
Yeah, thank you for letting me.
Thank you for that. And now on a lighter side, the yes. lover who couldn't please you.
Yeah.
And no. wouldn't even try. Let's call him out right
sure.
now.
Oh my gosh. Let's, you know what's really awesome is that this all happened before the days of social media. So I literally have no contact with this person. I don't even want to put his name up in the air, but I will say that I had a practice marriage.
Okay.
As Bernie Taupin likes to call them.
Yeah.
When I turned 18, I mean, you know, I really wanted to get laid. So I thought right. the only way I could do that was to get married,
right.
according to my church.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's a very basic.
So what an incredible culture shock. What
yeah.
you know, again, we you know, politically, whatever,
yeah.
however you want to go, whichever way you lean,
right.
to grow up in the South,
right.
or in any one of the Southern states, and to have to abide by church rules. You know, when you're not a churchy person, you know.
Well, I was. That's
it. That's the whole thing right there.
I was. Yeah. I was in. I mean, that line that's like that says I was 37 when I forgave my past. I lost religion, but I found God at
right,
last. That's
right.
very literal to the age that I was when I started going like, oh, no.
Right.
And I can't ever remember what the date it was, but it was the first Tuesday of November in 2016.
Wow.
And I went up to a flagpole with my church here. In California, and we had a big prayer, and everybody started praying for this man
right.
to start being our leader. And I went, wait, what?
Wow.
What do you mean? Yeah. I thought we were yeah. here to help the poor and the needy. And yeah. so anyway, that was just a real big, like, wake up moment for me. This
right.
whole thing has been a really big wake up and process of
right. Do you find family members see the opposite view of this guy than you did? Or than you do?
Almost all of them
that's,
do.
That's unfortunate. What are
almost
those Thanksgiving conversations yeah. like, man?
I mean, we stay away from it, you
right.
know? Like, and we're all musical, so
right.
like, put a guitar in
right.
three of our hands and around
it's
a
just
campfire.
Music. Right.
It's like, who cares,
right.
you know?
Right.
And they're all having babies and, right. you know? And it the thing about church is that it is a community.
Right.
And, like, I think that, I at least I haven't figured out in the secular world what that sort of community looks like
right
exactly
I think in our world in my circle
yeah
it's a combined hatred for him
yeah yeah,
that,
yeah
you know that's our community
yeah,
our community
yeah.
is yeah he'll be dead one day we'll be fine
man.
With that but yeah
gosh
all right onto a lighter note because
the creek don't rise
I don't I don't want him darkening up our session here actually I beat him up every morning at
every
7 o'clock
every morning well tune in
yeah.
everyone for
7 o'clock in the morning
beat up.
We start beating him up and moving out west
yeah
and finding gigs
yeah.
when you first get here
Woo.
What's that like walking into a
oh
place
God.
In LA
it's
going you know
impossible.
What yeah yeah all right I thought so
it's tough man right. I mean it's really I'm so grateful for this gig at the Coach House
right.
but it's not you know it's not going to be paying the bills this
right
is like
of course
a,
right, right. Yeah.
it's I'm doing it because I love doing it of course I'm hopefully if I sell a whole bunch of tickets
right.
from you guys I'll,
right.
I'll make some money but the you know it's really hard and it's really hard to get people to go out. You know, everybody likes their couch time, Netflix and
right.
chill and
right.
order Uber Eats. And I'm guilty of that, too. It's tough when I've got a day off, when I've got a night off where I'm not gigging or I'm not going to shows.
Right.
Man, it's tough for me to get out, you know.
Right.
So I get it, but it is hard. It's really hard. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's work.
It's work.
It literally is work. You're
exactly.
You're working every minute of every hour of every day. Right.
Every day I am. You'd be so surprised at how many of the musicians that you that are my, not the Pam Tillis's, but the me's of the world.
Right.
How much time we actually spend on our computers
right.
and how much time we spend emailing people and
right.
making posters and doing all of the admin stuff that just
right.
takes a long time.
Working.
Yeah. It's
working.
Work. Exactly.
Right.
It's
yeah.
my, that's my job.
Yeah. Thing, things
so.
That you do that other artists have. A group to
right.
do for
a
them.
A team.
A team, exactly, to
yeah.
do for them.
Yeah.
That
team.
that to me, and I know our, I, you know, your
yeah.
story is familiar. It
right.
rings familiar.
Right.
People that sat in that chair have told me the same story
right.
of
I'm sure my buddy Ryan Heflin has been on.
Ryan will be on. Ryan's actually coming on in a couple of weeks.
Shut up, buddy.
I've got him on, a week from Friday.
I love it. I'll be here. I'll come support for sure.
Yeah, Ryan.
I just got to sing BGVs with him over at Rick Conkey's place.
The Cultural Arts Center.
Exactly, yeah.
So we did a thing this past Saturday at Cultural Arts Center. Ryan just jumped on the piano and did an amazing song.
Beautiful.
That actually had, it made us all just feel it. And
I love
he's that amazing. And again, I often use the line here because we play local artists as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be surprised how talented your neighbors are.
Oh, I know.
You know, wow, what's that sound coming from next door?
That's, I know, because you got to keep them windows open. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
No AC in most of these places out here, out west. So
I want to talk about writing music.
Sure.
And do you find yourself getting into modes of moods? Can you write more successfully being happy, or can you write from a dark place? And does that lend itself to being to better writing?
You know, I'm trying to unlearn that I need bad things to happen in order for me to write well.
Okay.
I'm trying to unlearn that because I don't think it's true. I think that we all write about our experiences. And if you've gone through your whole life, listen, my husband is never, he has no trauma. Like he was raised in Orange County and Dana Point, you know, California. He had a very loving, supportive upbringing. He doesn't have any religious trauma. You know, he's, you know, healthy.
Traumaless.
All these things, you know? And so, I'm grateful that I don't have that experience. Mm-hmm. And I do have a lot of loss and grief and pain and a marriage to end when I'm in my early 20s. You know, that's a tough thing to, you know. So I've got a lot in the vault. Is I can just rifle through it and go like, oh, remember what that felt like? And a lot of times I use stuff like I just wrote this new song that I was going to probably end with called Widow of the South, based on the book Widow of the South.
Okay.
That was written by Robert Hicks from Franklin, Tennessee, which is where I'm from, which is where the bloodiest battle of all of the Civil War took place.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to segue to that.
No, this is a perfect learning
experience.
But you're segging into a perfect, the writing from the dark side versus the light side.
Right, okay, so I'm trying to avoid the, I need to have dark experiences.
Right.
So I'm reading, I'm in the middle of Demon Copperhead right now. Have you read that one?
No.
It's like a poor southern version of David Copperfield.
Okay.
so I'm trying to get those bad experiences, those feelings, because they're just core feelings. They're feeling left out. You know, those are all just like, you know, when you're mad, what is that stemming from? That's stemming from something. And those kinds of emotions can be,
so there's
in a bunch of ways.
Since you're a 90s music aficionado, the Goo Goo Dolls in the line, scars are souvenirs you never lose, the past is never far. That's a line that sticks with me like hot food to my stomach.
Absolutely.
See, you're from the South. I'm trying to do it.
I could break then.
So another song you're going to do for us? And that's
Just because we were talking about my Southern culture and sort of what a shock. This is a true story that I was in my hometown. My high school mascot was a Confederate soldier. We were the Franklin Rebels. Didn't change until maybe like 10 years ago, you know?
It's going to change back.
I mean, honestly, the way we're headed, I hope. But all that to say, though, that was not... The Civil War was taught to me as a draw. Nobody won the Civil War.
Right.
It was a loss on both sides. There's clearly a winner, right?
Right.
But the way that it's presented... but anyway, this book is just a beautiful depiction of also just the resilience of Southern women called The Widow of the South. And it's brand new. So
I'm honored to hear it. I'm on our audience by the Text Connect right here. Our audience is also honored to hear
exciting.
This. So very cool.
Lovely. Okay, great. Well, just a little background. She was the governor. I'll say all of this in the song, but sometimes I just like to give the story so people can be listening for it.
Why we're here.
The Carton Mansion was turned into a hospital during the Battle of Franklin.
Okay.
And just hundreds of soldiers, wounded soldiers, dead soldiers showed up and turned this house into a hospital, basically. And the governess was head nurse all of a sudden.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's called Widow of the South. It's a beautiful book. Check it out.
Once again, performing live from the Billie Holiday stage with a live show tomorrow.
I love him.
Opening. Great line from what movie?
Clueless.
Yes, Clueless. fabulous that you remembered that line. Tomorrow night at the Coach House, opening for Pam Tillis. And I'll ask you about that on the other side of this. Once again, Jolene Dixon.
Thank you. All right. Forgive me any hiccups. The widow of the South, the governess of Carnton Mansion. She paved a path into the ground of her graveyard antebellum plantation. The widow of the South buried three of her children as infants. That was before the Civil War broke out and left dying soldiers on her doorsteps. It didn't matter which side they were on, not to her or the barrel end of a gun. The widow of the South. The widow of the South became an accidental head nurse for the bloodiest of all the battlegrounds. To this day, dark red stains on the hardwood floors. And it didn't matter which side they were on, not to her or the barrel end of a gun. The widow of the South. Rebel boys laid to rest there in Franklin, in perfect rows with wooden tombstones by Confederate states. She wrote letters to families of the ones she'd named, but the 2,500 unknown graves. Yes, she mourned with her babies till her dying day. The widow of the South.
Wow. I love
Thank you. Thanks, man.
I love that song.
I'm still tweaking it. Thanks for letting me try that out on y'all.
Keep it like it is. I'm glad we're recording right now.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna separate that and I'm gonna toss that immediately, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Into the library.
Please.
That's very, very cool.
That's so cool. Thank you.
So you're working with Pam Tillis tomorrow night.
That's right.
Will it be your first time meeting her?
It will be my very first time meeting her.
Okay. So, again, this is the dumb guy who's not a musician, who doesn't know that life, by the way. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the question.
Sure.
Is there an opportunity for you to, as you meet her, and I know that she'll hear your set, to go, you know what, let's do a couple more of these wherever you are, and you know, not necessarily touring with her, but maybe a couple of more shows with Pam somewhere.
Absolutely. You know, and like the thing, you know,
sometimes there's magic
in
chemistry.
Audition sometimes,
yeah,
you know,
right?
And at the very least, I can offer. A lot, you know, it just comes down to cost, though. Then I'm buying a plane ticket to go to Phoenix or wherever she's going next. Right. But I, you know, of course, I would be more than happy to.
Right.
I had a very, very rare and cool experience to open for Rodney Crowell and to travel with him on a tour bus, doing merch and, you know, whatever, whatever I could.
Right.
And so I've had that experience of being on the bus and I want it again. Right. So if she would put me on her bus with her, Pam, I love you so much. I'll sing your BGs or an egg.
And I mentioned to you the national show that I was doing out of the network here in Los Angeles where Pam Tillis was a guest.
I hear she's very cool and very funny.
Unbelievably cool and funny. And I as I'm listening to you and as we're learning about you and we talk, that's a chemistry that needs to happen right there.
Oh, I appreciate
that. It really is. It's very true.
I hope she knows by meeting me that I know her catalog, you know? Yeah. It's just so cool to get to open for somebody that you really... Like I said, waited by the cassette player, listening to the top 20 country countdown.
I love that you punch the record and the play at the same time because that's exactly the way cassettes work.
Right.
That's so cool. You know, cassettes are starting to come back, I think.
CDs are definitely coming. I'm building back my CD collection as we speak. I've actually picked up a couple hundred this week.
I'm a CD collector. I'll go to garage sales, estate sales. I look for CDs.
I love it. Yeah. Well, give me some tips on how you don't like over pick, or do you just get everything?
I get everything I possibly can. So I make one offer for all of it, and then I just
That's
pick
what
and choose
I should do,
later.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I love it.
Yeah. And then some
CDs
people
are back. I've got some CDs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Drop them off. No. And you can take a look through these CDs before you go.
Oh, my God.
One more thing about writing. Please. Do you have a favorite, now that you're in Southern California, do you have a favorite place that you write from? Is it on the beach? Is it at home in a couch? Whatever.
I am very fortunate to have a beautiful ocean view deck.
There you go.
You know, I don't really leave there. And I write a lot on piano on my... I've got a little upright Kimball, it found it on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace.
I got underwear on Craigslist once. No.
Oh, my.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, okay, I don't want to touch anything else.
Totally kidding there.
I write a lot on piano, even though I don't play a lot on piano out, which is strange. But so I do it in the cocoon of my house, and I've got notebooks. I mean, I've probably got, oh, that's right, I can cuss. I've probably got 50 notebooks, I rummage through sometimes when I'm not feeling super inspired or if I'm not having something in my life that's like a mega crisis, which, they tend to find me. So,
and from these notebooks of songs that you have, do you ever go way back and think, ooh, this would work now if I just did something to it? Does that happen a lot?
It happens so much. And it happens so much where I will have been working on a chunk, or even I'll have like a melody in my head and I'll go like, never mind, this sucks, you know? And like years later, I'll go back and go like, wait a minute, that's a cool line, you know? Right. And I'll throw it into something new that I'm working on. So it really is a testament. You know, I heard people say, whoever they are, that you have to write 100 songs, to get one good one.
Right.
And
right.
I think when people hear that, they go like, you need to go in the studio and make the 100, you know, pretty, a 100 chunks of songs, 100 ideas, 100 times that you sit down to actually write. I think that it's got some truth to it, that it takes time to learn your own voice, and I'm still learning mine. So
you climb a ladder one step at a time.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You write a song one line at a time. Yeah.
Right.
Very, very cool. Yeah. Is your husband a musical guy? Does he have a guitar? Does he play?
For any old school Dana Hills fans out there, he had a fake rock band called Mosquito Head.
Okay.
That actually sold out the Coach House. I mean, they played at the Roxy.
Okay.
They were a big deal for being a fake rock band with songs like Death by Chocolate and Saturday Night Telescope Night.
Oh, very cool.
So he's got that funny kind of, he can clunk some stuff on a piano, but he's by no means,
he's not looking to tour with Pam Tillis.
He's not trying to open for or tour with Pam Tillis. He's way more into instrumental music than lyrical music. So, in my world, he's very confused. He's wait, why are you talking about the Widow of the South?
If our listeners, and I know they
which
do.
Which is not true. He loved that book, actually.
our listeners who I'm seeing right now on the Text Connect interested in picking up your music, what's the best way to either purchase music or swag or whatever that would benefit you the most?
Honestly, everything that you buy directly from my website, which is my name, JoleneDixon.com, okay. Anything you buy there, I get all of it. Okay. You know, Bandcamp is a great way. But to me, I'm kind of going more to one thing because I just feel like we're also getting inundated as artists. Okay, now you've got to do Bandcamp. Okay, Now you've got to do Patreon. Right. Okay, Now you've got to do this. No. I'd rather just have everything on my website and have everybody, please joining my mailing list. I know that sounds like sort of antiquated.
Right.
Like our president said, it's the word groceries. It's such an old-fashioned word. The mailing list, though, it really is the only way that I can directly connect to you. Okay. And, there are statistics out there that social media, you're getting 10% of your followers are actually seeing your posts.
Right.
It happens all the time. I'll play a show and someone will go, I had no idea you were playing. And I'm like, join my mailing list. You'll see my emails. But it's hard, man. I'm out here handing out flyers and busking today.
Right.
Just for one final push. Because I want the Coach House to have me back. I want to, I want to keep going. Right. So.
Well, we want to have you back.
Well, thank you so much.
And you're welcome to sit in that chair and welcome to grab that mic anytime you want.
I'm so grateful. That's so kind.
And we're grateful for you.
Thank you so much.
Forward to seeing you again. We'll look forward to tomorrow night at the Coach House.
Tickets at JoleneDixon.com for that as well. Sorry.
No. By all means. And tomorrow night, opening for Pam Tillis. Doors open at 6, showtime at 8 o'clock. Jolene Dixon, I can't thank you enough for being in today.
Thank you so much.
All right, we appreciate you. And we're making a date now. You coming back?
Absolutely will.
All right, 12:40 the time, 20 minutes before 1 o'clock. It's the Voice of Laguna.
Voice of Laguna, we'll be right back. Hey, everyone, it's Lauren from My Laguna office. We're located in the heart of Laguna Beach.